You're listening to Talk of the Nation Science Friday. I'm Ira Flatow, and the winner is France. This week, officials from a consortium of countries announced that after much study, they had picked France as the site for the construction of an experimental fusion reactor, a project called ITER, and that would seek to create a sun-like burning plasma. You know, the fusion is what makes the sun shine, so they want to create some of that right here, confined on Earth. The site in France beat out a bid from Japan to host the project. Project scientists hope that this fusion reactor will have its first reaction taking place there by 2016. Joining me now to talk about the project is Neil Sothoff. He's the project manager of the U.S. ITER project, which is the U.S. contribution to the collaboration, and that's based on the Department of Energy's Princeton Plasma Physics Lab in Princeton, New Jersey. Welcome to Science Friday.
Well, thank you, Ira. It's a pleasure to be with you.
Thank you. Give us an idea of the technology. Is this like the tokamak that was at Princeton?
Yes, it's very similar to the tokamak at Princeton, except bigger. The tokamak at Princeton actually produced about 10 megawatts of power for about 1 second. ITER is going to do much better than that. It's going to produce about 500 megawatts for about 400 seconds or larger, and could do better.
Mm-hmm. How will we? What do you do better now that makes this one work better?
Well, this one is larger and more powerful. The size of the plasma is important because the losses come out of the surface and the fusion comes out of the volume. And so if you have a bigger volume to surface ratio, you're better off. And so what we're seeing here is a situation where the governments of the world have actually recognized that it's a good thing to pursue research in fusion because of the scientific benefits. They've determined that we're scientifically ready. And most amazingly to me, they decided to work together on a global response to a global problem.
I once heard talking to this about this with one of the scientists a while back. I said, what was the biggest mistake that was made on this project? And they said, 6 countries. We had no tiebreaker.
Well, I remember that. But it seems to me that we should be very pleased that the governments of one-third of the world's population have decided to actually pursue this. Mm-hmm. And I think it's a sign that they are recognizing the importance of clean energy and realize that fusion could be an option to contribute and are willing to invest in it.
Let's talk about some of the landmarks you have to achieve in a project like this to get to a workable nuclear fusion reaction. What problems do you have to overcome?
Well, the first thing we have to do is to figure out how to confine a plasma. For instance, in a plasma such as the sun, one uses gravity to confine the plasma, but we don't want to bring something as big as the sun down to Earth. We want to do it in a more manageable size, and so we're trying to find ways to mimic the behavior of the gravity of the sun. And so within our concept, we're using strong magnetic fields, like 100 million times the strength, 100,000 times the strength of the Earth's magnetic field. This causes the particles to follow magnetic field lines and not just scatter. Mm-hmm. So we're using this magnetic field to confine the plasma, and then we're using energetic particle beams and radio frequency waves to heat it up. Now, once we get it hot...
How hot do you have to get it?
Well, we have to get it to about 200 million degrees centigrade, which is really quite hot, but it turns out that that we can actually achieve that, and we have achieved that level of temperature. And what we intend to do in ITER is start up with external heating sources like neutroparticle beams and radio frequency waves to the level of about 100 megawatts, and then the plasma is going to heat up, and then the deuterium and tritium, those hydrogen isotopes nuclei, are going to hit together. They're going to fuse and produce roughly 100 megawatts of helium power, which is going to be absorbed by the plasma, plus about 400 megawatts of neutron power. And that whole 500 megawatts is going to go out to the wall, heat up a coolant, and be able to produce energy.
Mm-hmm. And how do you get to the point where you, I know one of the reasons that you have not been successful yet is that you're putting more energy in than is coming out, and you want to achieve break-even point, and then it self-sustains. How do you get to that point?
Well, so far we've gotten close to what you might call a break-even point. what we're going to do in ITER is get 10 times better than that. Mm-hmm. We're going to be producing about 500 megawatts of power with only about 50 megawatts in. We do it by having the plasma be large enough that the losses are not compensating the growth in the power and the volume, and so we'll produce more power than is needed to keep the plasma warm. And so this is a more self-sustaining situation, and we only use the external power to control the system. Mm-hmm. So it requires an investment in a larger facility so that we can achieve that much containment. And the fact that we're going ahead with ITER is a recognition by the scientific communities of the world that we're scientifically ready, it's a good risk, it's a good scientific opportunity, and it's worth pursuing.
Do you think 2016 is maybe a little bit optimistic about getting finished, you know?
Well, our schedule is such that if the decisions can be made promptly and if we can proceed to the procurements as we planned, then 2016 is realistic. However, we are on the forefront here, not just technically, but also from the point of view of international collaboration. We're trying a collaboration here in which no single government is responsible. It's a real partnership. We have the governments of the United States, the European Union, Japan, Russian Federation, South Korea, and China, all working together and all jointly responsible. And so it's a new model, a new path for large science, and we're trying to make it work. So we expect that there will be management challenges and there will be technical challenges, but we feel that we're up to the challenge.
And speaking of challenges, this is not going to be the final nuclear reactor, right? This is just a test bed, and then further down the line, if this works as hoped, you then build a real nuclear fusion reactor.
Yes, what we intend to do with ITER is to demonstrate the scientific and technological feasibility of fusion. When ITER has run for roughly 10 years, which might be about 25 years from now, we would have in place the science and technology to design a demonstration power plant such that 35 years from now, we believe that we could have a demonstration plant online. That would then be addressing the issue of the attractiveness and the economic viability of fusion. And so we're looking forward to an opportunity in something like 35 years to demonstrate that fusion could actually be a viable energy source that would be attractive to the utilities.
So we're looking somewhere around 2050 or something like that, ballpark.
Well, 2050 is when it would get commercialized, I believe.
Yeah. I remember every time I've been covering this issue for I don't know how many decades, fusion is always 30 years away, no matter what time you talk to somebody about it. It's
well,
always
actually,
30 years down the line.
Well, actually, if you measure the progress of fusion by the dollars spent as opposed to the clock ticks, we're right on schedule. Mm-hmm. The budget that we received was not that which we had planned for the 30 years.
Mm-hmm. And how much will this cost in the long run, speaking of budgets?
Well, we believe that ITER is going to cost us about, the cost of the fabrication is about $5 billion, and there will be a comparable amount for the operation. And then the demo will be another model of a comparable level of cost. And so we're expecting that we're going to be in the vicinity of $40 to $50 billion total investment. But if you look at that from the point of view of what would be the return on that investment, there have been economists who have analyzed this and determined that it's a very impressive return on investment.
Sure, sure. I want to thank you for taking time to talk with us today.
Well, thank you. It's been a great opportunity.
Dr. Ned Sothoff is a project manager of the U.S. ITER project. That's the U.S. contribution to this collaboration. He was talking to us about nuclear fusion that's just down the road.